The content discussed in the Well Life podcast is not meant to be medical advice, but for educational purposes only. If anything we discuss resonates with you, please reach out to your physician before making any changes in your medications, diets, or routines.
Welcome to the Well Life Podcast, where our mission is to educate and empower you to take control of your life in every area, spiritually, physically, relationally, and emotionally, to live life well and to be the best version of yourself. Here are your hosts, Dr. Glenda Shepherd and Robin McCoy.
Welcome to the Well Life Podcast. We are so excited that you are joining us again today. And this is Robin McCoy.
And I am Dr. Glenda. And today we have a very special and beautiful guest that I am really honored to tell you about. Her name is Michelle Thielen. Michelle is a sister in Christ, and she's also a very dear friend. And I've known her for 10 plus years. And I'm going to read her bio, and then we're going to get into our conversation with Michelle. Michelle is an IAYT certified yoga therapist, and she will explain to you what that entails. She's a speaker and an author of Stretching Your Faith and Exit Wilderness. She's the founder of Yoga Faith. She has been teaching somatic movement through dance and yoga for more than 25 years. Michelle travels the globe to aid young trafficked survivors through practices of yoga, dance, and somatics. She is passionate about helping people all over the world to live a life of purpose. Michelle, welcome to the Well Life Podcast.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you so much, girls. It's so great to be here with your beautiful selves. I really appreciate the time and carving out the space for this.
Well, we appreciate you carving out the time and the space to be with us today, right, Robin?
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. You know, Michelle and gosh, we've met a really long time ago, like Glenda was saying, at church, probably at least well over a decade, maybe two even. 16. I don't know.
Yep, 16 years ago.
Oh my goodness, 16 years ago. So we've known each other a long time. And what's interesting is I love, and same thing happened with Glenda and I, how we can know each other, hang out with one another, and then kind of go different directions. And then God always seems to bring us back, right? And there's a reason for that. It's not by accident that we reconnected, that we're here. You know, I ran into you and your husband at the chiropractors not too long ago, and it was just such a joy and an excitement. That's when I said, you need to be on our podcast. Glenda and I were talking about you.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to have you here today.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I was very excited to run into you too. We call it the crack house, right? The glory, the God of glory is at that crack house in particular. But shout out to Simmons Chiropractor.
Yes.
In Tacoma, Washington. Glory. But no, it is true. This holy tapestry that we speak of, that God, you know, for such a time as right now has the beautiful Well Life and Yoga Faith coming together and just a beautiful collision. So thank you again for that.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So first of all, let our listeners know what IAYT, Certified Yoga Therapist, what is that?
Yeah, so yoga therapy is really on the forefront of alternative medical therapy, just natural and holistic ways of dealing with health issues and diseases and ailments. And so the International Association of Yoga Therapists is really on the forefront of changing insurance and allowing insurances to accept these therapeutic modalities. So it's really incredible what they're doing, but they have, you know, they have a lot of success, but there's a long ways to go. You know, there's not really a, you know, The health field in the United States specifically has a long ways to go in accepting some of these holistic alternatives. And so some of these things that God has created, they're now being accepted. And yoga is one of them. Yoga therapy, what sets it apart from yoga is we really meet one-on-one with the client. And it is a very thorough assessment, measurements. And so it's different than a large group setting. It's really where the rubber meets the road, where we can work with people one-on-one. And it's really a beautiful thing.
Wow, so that sounds beautiful.
You said you do measurements in those. What do you measure?
So it can be actual measurements, specific angles of maybe let's just take a hip hinge or a spinal flexion or extension. Or it can be really simple for somebody who is unable to even tie their shoes. So the assessment might be, you know, in 8 weeks, I'd love to be able to bend over and tie my own shoes. But again, it can be actual measurements and angles. There's an assessment for absolutely every bone, every nook, every cranny in our bodies. And we're still making them up because we have specific, for as many billions of people are out there, we have that many billions of specific measurements to their ailments and issues. So there's no shortage of these measurements. They're all very unique and specific to that ailment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. And that's exciting to hear that healthcare has taken notice of yoga as a therapeutic practice and modality to improve your health and your well-being.
Absolutely.
It's so far behind, but like you said, we're making headway.
You know, absolutely.
Yes. Because healthcare is sluggish when it comes to alternative measures for well-being.
Yeah.
And I think North America in general is a little bit even further behind that.
Yeah.
As other cultures accept some of these things. So
yes.
It's great.
Hey, so
how did you, go ahead.
No, I just want, well, the question I wanted to ask, because I would imagine a good portion of our listeners are believers, are Christians. And so, you know, the controversy, I think I just, you know, let's just talk to the elephant in the room on this as we move forward, is that there's a lot, you even see it on social media. I just saw it the other day where you have this Christians saying that yoga is not a Christian practice, that it is, we should not be participating in it, even if it says it's Christian. So can you talk to us about that for a minute? Because I know you and I, you know, and I know that you love Jesus, and yet you are also an expert in your field, and you've combined this with being a Christ follower. And can you just kind of maybe dispel that myth? And I know Glenda and I've talked about it before, but we wanted to hear it from you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. And it can be an elephant in the room. As you just mentioned, Christians have issues with yoga, and a lot of yogis have issues with Christianity and Jesus specifically. So I want to just back up to how God led me the reconciliation and the redemption of the postures of prayer. And just really briefly let you know that I put my story out there in Exit Wilderness. It's a story of shame and adultery and affair and divorce and all of this, as in me committing adultery. And, you know, I sunk into a state of depression and really lost everything. And, you know, I ended up wanting to take my own life. That's how far gone and how deceived I had been from the enemy. About a year into my depression, where I did actually go to take my own life, I had decided the where, the when, and the how, and I had opened up my master closet in my home in Portland, Oregon, and the Holy Spirit spoke audibly to me for the second time in my life, and he said, "You're going to kill your mom of a broken heart." And that really sobered me up. And all this to say that it was a very long journey, and I began to be in these postures that I maybe didn't necessarily know the name for. I just knew I didn't have strength to stand. There's a chapter in my book called Eating Dust Bunnies, and I pretty much was flat on my face, as many of the scriptures talk about throughout the Bible. When we're pronated when we're eating dust bunnies, when there really is no other posture. These are really prayers of urgency and pleas and cries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always thought intercessory prayer was standing in the gap. But I've been studying the Hebrew meaning of intercessory prayer, and it means begging God, yes, for others, but also for ourselves. And I thought, God, I didn't know I ever had to beg you. So here I am flat on my face begging God that 5 years would go by, because maybe in 5 years I would smile again or have a reason to wear cute clothes again, maybe be able to brush my teeth or feed my dogs. But these postures, I didn't know it at the time, but he would eventually use them for my life's purpose, my biggest mess becoming my biggest message, if you will, because through those postures of crying and pleading and begging, they eventually, after I got the truth, I've known God my whole life, but during this season, it was really getting the truth in my heart. And there was a time when I opened the word and his Holy Spirit said audibly, you have to speak this audibly. Mm. If you've been through depression, you know that talking isn't one of your favorite things to do, let alone read scripture. So I would whisper them and I would say, I hope these are for me, your adulterous, divorced daughter, that I would be the head, that I would have your joy, that I would have your peace, and eventually really believing them and eventually shouting at the devil these truths. And so later on, he would use these postures as a way to bring back his people in a really intimate and profound connection to him. The word repeats over and over to love God, to worship him with all of our might, all of our soul, all of our breath, all of our strength. And I really don't know how else to interpret that than, well, with all of our whole self.
Yes.
I want to read Colossians 1:16 through 17.
Yes.
Please. Passion Translation. Mm. It says, "For in him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth. All that is seen and all that is unseen, every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority, it all exists through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him." And really similar is John 1:3. I'm going to read the Amplified, but they basically say the same thing. "All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life and the light of men." So ultimately, basically, there is nothing, no thing above, below, seen, unseen, that has been made that was not made by him and for him.
Yeah.
And that just sums up just those two, actually three scriptures, but there's several. And so when we take his creation, which us humans do all the time, whether it's dance or music or meditation or chanting or alcohol, we muck it up as humans.
Yeah.
And we make what was created in this divinity, we make it this humanity thing that is, you know, sometimes meditation and chanting become these ugly things, but we know these are made from God, by God, for God. And much like postures of prayer or postures that are found throughout the Old and New Testament, yoga faith really desires to redeem and reconcile what God created by him, for him, through him, and to give him back the honor and glory. So we're not worshiping or idolizing the creation. There's no statue. There's no other God, little g. There is only God, the maker of the universe, as I just read.
Yep.
Yes.
And we do use meditation and chanting, just like the entire book of Psalms was David in melodic tones worshiping.
Yep.
We also know that God created the world by his words. And so it's a beautiful thing to redeem something that he created for him. It's not an easy road. He has us in this niche. And I'm also not saying that yoga's for everybody. I'm saying that we as Christians or Christ followers should find that one thing that connects us so profoundly and intimately to our maker, that we can worship him wholly, mind, body, spirit, and especially our soul.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That was beautifully said. Beautiful.
Wow. You are so welcome. And that's why yoga is so unique in the first place, right? There's no other physical activity that incorporates all of that. And we are made in his image. We are three parts, mind, body, spirit. So yoga is a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's just a beautiful gift. And so, like I said, if it's not for somebody or they have something in their spirit, then there's many other things that we can do to connect with Christ. Just make sure that we never stop praying, right? First Thessalonians says there's no wrong or right way to pray, just that we never stop.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So Michelle, is that how you got into yoga from the experience in Portland? Is that how your yoga journey started?
My yoga journey actually began when I was part of the NBA and WNBA in Portland, Oregon. And we started going there consistently for injury prevention. So yoga was actually twice a week. And it was just something that all of us, you know, were required to do, to go together as a team and to do this. And it really just became a part of my life. I did hear in one class when I was in a posture, you know, she was speaking about the universe being inside of us. And I had a check in my spirits that the universe is not inside of me, but I did know the creator of the universe and how my personal beliefs were in contrast to what I was hearing. So silently, I began to use it as a form to pray. And it took great intention at first. Like, no, like that's not how I believe. This is like, okay, God, just always putting my thoughts back on him. But when you're in a class together in whole worship, when we are doing yoga faith collectively and we are able to pray or sing or worship out loud, it's just this beautiful freeing. It's just where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And it is this like spirit of liberation where it's not a constant revert of your thoughts. It is just a constant, beautiful liberation of worshiping him, mind, body, spirit, with others. So vertically and horizontally. And it's just a lot less work to just be at a yoga faith class instead of like, oh, no, I worship you, Jesus. My mind is on you. Because you do hear yoga has been used, just like all those things I mentioned that we find in the Bible that humans make dark and ugly. We do see a lot of new age practices within yoga, or, you know, new age creeps in, or the occult can creep into anywhere, anything. It can creep into a church. It can creep into the line at the grocery store. Inevitably, we always get something on us where we hang out. So when I do have a check in my spirit from the Holy Spirit, sometimes I have left a class. Sometimes I've actually straight up ran out of a class. You know, there was a teacher beginning to channel. And so we see these things. Yoga faith does not participate in Kundalini, which is a philosophy of Hindu gods coming together and having a divine marriage. And it's just the philosophy is anti-Christ and anti-biblical. So again, going back to the word as our true north, for anything that we're taking part in or any people we're hanging out with, is this edifying to God? Is this bringing me closer to God, or is it drawing me further back? That's something Christ followers unfortunately have to ask ourselves almost every moment of these days because of the world we live in. But again, just coming back to the word and coming back to how the Holy Spirit, that's why it's important to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because like anything, there are yoga philosophies and practices that we should not be partaking in.
It's good.
Well, I remember the times when I had the studio and you would have the yoga faith classes at the studio, and I participated. And what I remember the peace, and I remember the cross, and I remember the candles, and just the serenity that you, just the sense of the serenity that came upon me. It was just as you said, the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit having his way. And that is not a typical yoga class. Not at all. Not at all.
You know, God has really set yoga faith apart, even from other Christian schools. He has just sanctified us and set us apart as holy. And I want to just take this time and space to thank you, Glenda, for really giving me my start after I graduated from teacher training. You opened up your space. You opened up your heart. These people still follow me to this day. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but an atheist came to that class several times. And I don't know if he was ever saved or not. It wasn't my place to judge, but I thought, man, if I was an atheist, I would not like this class. There's a cross. There's a big cross. There's a lot of Jesus. There's a lot of scripture, and it's all worship music, but praise be to God. I just kept doing it. And that's what we're to be, is seed, seed, seed. And those classes were so special to me that you would give me that chance and that you would open up that space for people to come holy worship at this thing called Yoga Faith. And sometimes there were no people there, but you know, I set up my cross and I pushed play and I worshiped. While my husband was in resting angel the whole time, that's okay. I just did my thing. And you know, I really believe those were times of the proving ground. We trekked from Bonnie Lake to Lakewood, Washington, almost an hour, and carried our cross in. And whether people showed up or not, it was the proving ground. And God, at some point, when I finally said, okay, because I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing with this. Nobody's coming to class. And it was just me and him from Portland to Seattle one time driving. And he said, it is for you. And if you ask me one more time, I'm going to give it to someone else. And so what I do know is that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, your people will find you. And from that point on, that I-5 drive that I'll never forget, he was sitting in my passenger seat, spoke so clearly to me, I never looked back. And there was one day, a couple years into Yoga Faith, that he supernaturally touched it. So for anybody who is believing in a dream, we know the path to a dream is hard. We know it's riddled with potholes and cliffs and brick walls. Yeah. Just keep going, because, you know, I prayed this before we jumped on here, but when God gives you something, I'm praying that it's no longer a side hustle, right? If he's giving you this dream, that he would reveal, make it really clear by his Holy Spirit, your next steps. And he does that manna for each day. But we have to keep saying yes when our bank accounts don't make sense, when our energy or our strength, none of this makes sense. I just kept going. Nobody showed up. And my husband, bless his heart, he'd say, well, you know, some football game was on or some, he'd always have this great excuse. You shouldn't do it on Sundays. And I just said, I don't know what God is doing, but it's a clear yes. Yoga Faith came out of our second Daniel fast. And we just went through our 12th Daniel fast a few months back. And I believe these spiritual disciplines that are a big part of yoga, fasting, praying, tithing, they're all connected to the blessings of God. So you know, these overnight successes or things that people think are overnight successes, you know, God has been marinating and pickling for quite some time. So, you know, the cucumber doesn't just happen overnight, right? We got to wait for it to be pickled and then enjoy. And if you don't like pickles, you know, baptize in something else. I don't know, right? But there is a baptizing process.
Yes.
And you must go through the process. And what I learned through what I write in Exit Wilderness of Roadmap out of depression and hopelessness is what you do in the waiting, and worship is what you do in the waiting. It'll just like give you the answer. It's worship. And he will always bless that when you are worshiping, when you don't feel like it, when the dream looks like maybe it shriveled up, or the finances don't match, but keep going. If God has called you to this, I promise he will make a way. He will provide. And in my experience, it's always not at the 11th hour, but the 12th hour. So just want to encourage somebody who might be listening, to obey what God has called them to do, but you just keep running into these things.
Yes, that is good. So tell us where Yoga Faith is today.
So Yoga Faith, we just celebrated our 11th anniversary.
Yes. Come on.
Yep. We started in 2013 And like I said, Glinda was a big part of our foundation and just so precious, those memories, as she described, of just a community who were thirsty and seeking God. And we come together and we worship in this thing called Yoga Faith. And it's just a beautiful thing. So Yoga Faith, we've certified close to 3,000 instructors.
Wow.
Doing trainings all over the world. Yoga Faith is the only Christian yoga school accredited with the International Association of Yoga Therapists. So that's huge. It's huge. Our curriculum is deep. It's comprehensive. It's built on Bible and biblical principles and Christian foundations, as well as really honoring the ancient practice and the gift of yoga and all of those who have come before us and contributed to this gift of yoga, including the Yoga Sutras, where we first see the systemization of yoga. Yeah. By Patanjali, who is unknown if it's a man or a group of people, but nonetheless, it is really where we see the systemization of the breathing and the postures and all of this kind of put together. And much like people in the world or Christians or meditators, we're all seeking this peace or seeking this union. So what the eight limbs goes through is this seeking this union with self or God. I don't know the God of the Yoga Sutras, but I don't think it's the creator of the universe. But we're all seeking this peacefulness and this tranquility. And so if you're familiar with St. Teresa of Avila, she wrote The Interior Mansion, or goes through seven castles. And at the center is your soul. And at that center is Jesus Christ, the union. But you have to go through these castles. And Patanjali says there's no limb that's more important than the other. But at the fifth limb, we kind of start to see this withdrawing. And much like St. Teresa's castles, we see this intention of us going. We're deciding to leave the world behind and enter into this mansion so that we progress, hopefully, into the interior of the soul, which is where Christ resides. And so same with the Yoga Sutras, we're going towards that eighth limb of union or ecstasy, and we're all seeking. But we know as Christians that eternity is in each of our hearts. Yep. And so until we find the one who made us, we're going to always be seeking. Yep. So whether it's the interior castle or the Yoga Sutra, we're all seeking, but it's only God who can fulfill. There's only one way to heaven. It's not many paths. It's just one path, and it's narrow. It's not all paths lead to God. Sorry, Oprah, I love you, but it ain't the truth.
That's right.
Bible says there's only one way, and it's narrow, and it's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can get that.
Amen.
And everything you were talking about the no limb is more important than the other. All of that you were talking about from out external sources is very biblical. So they've taken they've taken our scripture and just kind of done some nuances with it to fit within that teaching. But at the end of the day, what you're talking about is Jesus.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Patanjali does say there's no limb more important, but I actually disagree, because that fifth limb is the withdrawal. It's like when we draw nearer to God, right? Yep. In James, it says draw nearer to him, or we're always the one knocking or seeking, and he answers, he draws near, right? But we always go first. So I do see this fascinating parallel that we make that decision, even to enter St. Teresa of Avila's castle. We make the decision to enter, to leave the world behind.
Yep.
And that fifth limb is really similar to that. And then the sixth limb is meditative focus. The seventh is focusing on that one thing. And then the eighth thing is just complete samadhi or ecstasy. And I like to think of it as a sponge. I always call it like Mr. Sponge. Like Mr. Sponge decides to kind of dip his toes in the ocean, and then he gets a little more in there. He feels the water, and then he feels the water more. And then he just dunks himself in the ocean, and he just becomes one. You can no longer tell Mr. Sponge from the ocean. And I feel like that is the secret place. That is Psalms 91. When we are on the lap of our Father, when we hear his heartbeat, we cannot think of anything else. We are one with God, the creator of the universe.
Yeah. That fifth limb you're talking about too, that when you're talking about your, you're talking about being set apart,
Yes.
Ultimately, yes. That's what you're saying, that you're being called and you're set apart and you're consecrating yourself. You are being, you know, and then moving to that fifth, that sixth, seventh, eighth is that purification. And we are holy because he is holy. And so we're, as we draw closer to the Lord, we're all consumed, right? So yes. So I see all of that ties in beautifully.
I agree. Yeah. I'm a little biased, but I totally 100% agree.
I see it, girl. I see it.
Union, right? Union. That's right. That's what the word yoga means. It means to yoke and to have union. And this particular, so yoga, the word is not in the Bible, but the particular definition of yoking is when a man and a woman become one in marriage. That's the same definition. So it is this intense, amazing, profound union meant for marriage or meant for oneness with God. We're yoked to him.
I love that.
That's good. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay. So you are at the very beginning of our conversation, you talked about insurance. So does some insurances now cover what it is that you do? That's question one. And then secondly, you said you have 3,000 instructors. So are they all over the country, the world? You know, can we easily access these instructors that you've had through your school?
Such a great question. Yes. More and more insurances are taking it. Not every, but we're hearing more and more success stories of when it's submitted, it's accepted. So we pray that continues on. And that's the work of IOIT. Our instructors can be found at yogafaith.org. There is a tab that's called local classes. So it's yogafaith.org/local-class. And I think we're on 5 continents. So we're mainly here in North America, but we are in total in 5 continents. We have a virtual teacher training once a year. So we're able to have people who wouldn't normally be able to travel. We had someone from Israel the last time. We had someone from Brazil and South Africa. So these virtual trainings, we do keep them once a year. They're live classes. It's not on demand. We're actually diving through the material in person, but that's a really good way for people to come. Our foundational program is 100 hours. It's 5 modules. So we dive deep into biblical principles, as well as each module has asana families or posture families that we really pull apart and dive into and what they mean. If you can imagine, you know, these postures of depression or hopelessness, you know, I was very caved in. I had zero confidence compared to postures of victory and being victorious and knowing the promises of God and knowing who we are in Christ. There's a huge identity crisis in our world today, but, you know, knowing who we are in Christ allows us to have these standing postures of victory. And they look quite different, right? So we go through these different postures and what they mean biblically. And even when we're not feeling victorious, we can sometimes get in some of these postures and breathe in with some breath prayers. It is well with my soul. We might not feel that, but we breathe it in and we speak it into existence like Christ did the world. So that's basically what got me out of depression and hopelessness is the words coming out of my mouth. Remember, I didn't always believe them, but I just kept reading scripture out loud. Yeah. And then I eventually got them in my heart where I really believed God and took him at his word. My life began to change. He said, I created the world and you can do the same thing in your world.
Beautiful. Wow. I love that.
Thank you. It was a journey. It was a journey for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you used it as well with my soul, because that is the one thing that pivotal times in my life that I have used and spoken and sang the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Yes. And it does take you, it gives you that time just to take that breath and say, it's going to be okay. And I think that's something that we have to continually tell ourselves throughout our lives, isn't it? It's going to be okay. No matter what we're going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is well with my soul, and taking those deep breaths and the prayer and saying the word. I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's renewing the mind.
Yes, ma'am. 100%.
Amen. Yeah. And science is catching up.
Yes.
Science is catching up.
Right?
Science catching up to scripture. Catching up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it is well with my soul is something that I use all the time. So if it's not a faith class, when I teach at these festivals, I taught 1,500 yogis in unchurched Seattle, one of the most unchurched cities in North America. Yep. And at the end in Shavasana, or I like to call it Resting Angel, we are inhaling, it is well, and we are exhaling with my soul. Mm. And we did that over and over. It is well with my soul. So everybody's breathing it in. And that's the gift of Yahweh that, you know, I believe breath prayers is how we pray without ceasing, because we're always breathing. So I believe even non-believers are saying his name.
And, amen.
You know, it's just a beautiful thing to be in a room with that many people saying it is well with my soul. And then of course your people find you, right? They're lined up, you know, at the end, and they're like, it is well with my soul. I sang that as a little girl. So we're coming back to Christ and returning. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing of yoga faith. They might have church hurts or have spiritual abuse, but they'll come to a yoga faith class and they'll say, man, I have never worshiped God like that. And it's so beautiful and so powerful.
Wow. So are you,
go ahead. No, go ahead. I was just going to say,
you guys are so funny. You guys are so kind and generous.
You go.
I was just going to ask Michelle, where locally are you so we can come and take a class, Robin?
Yes, I know. I'm thinking, okay, I need to go.
Yes.
I need to also, you know, traveling so much, I'm like, I need to do yoga faith today. I woke up saying I need to do yoga faith today. I have tried many times to teach locally, and because of my travel schedule, I always have to find a sub. So there are many people who teach in the area. Again, if you just go to a local class.
Okay.
I teach some online. Sometimes I'll do a pop-up or teach online. But usually I'm traveling to do teacher trainings and certify yoga faith trainers. It's been really tough. I have given it a really good shot, though, for the last 3 or 4 years to try to do something local. I will be doing something special at our church, maybe once a month, maybe like the first Sundays, like I used to do with you, Glenda, first Sundays of the month at Motion Church in Puyallup and rotating at South Hill. So we are trying to do that, and I will keep you posted.
Yes, please. You know,
I'm thinking I can handle once a month. I'm thinking that right now.
Yes, let us know. We will be there, my friend.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, but there are people who are teaching it all over for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll look that up, and Glenda and I'll go visit. And if you're all of a sudden here and you say, I'm going to do this, just text us and we'll be there.
Yes.
I will. Okay.
So my question was, what's next for you and yoga faith? So you've built this beautiful thing. So what's next on the horizon for you?
Well, my husband and I have been really led to disciple. So we actually have had a really long running first Thursday call that was always informational. And it's still informational in the first half hour, but that last half of the call is discipleship. A lot of people are just looking for fellowship and community.
Yes.
So we are providing discipleship, fellowship, community, and really just growing in the things of God, sharing the good news, sharing testimonies. This Thursday happens to be first Thursday. And we're having a couple come on and share their trials and tribulations through their marriage. And, you know, just it's going to be really beautiful what God does and what he can do with a surrendered heart.
Yes.
And so they're going to share their testimony of marriage. So it's always different, but we really feel that the people of God really need fellowship, community, and discipleship. It's really learning and diving into the word and talking about the word of God. So I'm always evolving. We have 30 certifications at Yoga Faith, from kids to trauma, sozo and somatics, which is really connecting with each part of the Trinity and healing deep trauma caused by evil. You know, we have a dance and embodiment. We have a lot of programs that are always evolving. And so I like to fine tune those as God gives me wisdom and knowledge. I just like to go back and just, you know, pour that back in. So I'm always growing. I'm always learning. And it's just a beautiful thing. And as God, you know, I'm finishing a degree in theology and.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
In my free time, right? You guys know that. You guys know how that is. I'll just take this on and get this done in my free time. But the wisdom, I love growing in God. It's my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah. And you are saying earlier, it may have been before we got started recording, that your heart is to work with and serve and help human trafficking victims. And
that's right.
That's an extension of what, that's part of your why you do what you
do. That's right. My first mission trip was to Bulgaria when I just wanted to help. Right. I just had heard, this was about 12 years ago. I had heard on Joyce Meyer that 5-year-old little girls were servicing up to 20 men a day. And I found myself weeping. Oh. My husband had found me on the living room floor and he thought, you know, someone had passed away. And I had shared with him what I just learned. And our friends, Nick and Christine Kane, were going to Bulgaria. And I kind of jumped on the train, not knowing what I didn't know. I learned of other evils there from the babies that are produced by this. And that's another horrific industry of sex with babies. And it's just so relevant of evil. You see it, you smell it, you hold it. Yeah. So I just had made a commitment to God that for as long as I'm breathing, I will do something about this. So we've spent months at a time in Asia, Cambodia, Phnom Penh, Bangkok, you know, training their facilitators is a much more sustainable way. Time, you know, we always have interpreters. So that's all. Also, everything takes double time. And so we've just been really focused on training the leaders, people who are already there, because studies are now coming out of a secondary trauma of, you know, if we're there for 3 months and then we leave, it's adding to the trauma. It's adding to this person was safe. They love me. And they do. I mean, I get attached, they get attached, and then we leave. And so having more sustainable ways for these little girls to know their purpose, to know their future doesn't look anything like their past, to befriend, to be able to take a deep breath, to befriend their bodies. The one thing about the youngsters are their right and left brain, depending on the age, never connected in the first place. So with adults, our goal is to reconnect, but with children, a lot of the times, they weren't old enough. The brain never connected. So we're actually trying to attach those neurotransmitters and the left and the right hemispheres of the brain so that they can function like you and I. They never had that secure attachment. They don't trust. You know, it might take 3 months for them just to be able to sit back to back with me. And it's a beautiful thing. And just knowing, you know, knowing that some of these things that I can do with older adults, I can't, you know, maybe it's praying in color or meditation on Jesus, but Jesus is white and he has a beard and he looks a lot like their abuser. So the Holy Spirit constantly is saying, you know, just put a stuffed animal on their stomach and have them take that giraffe, try to get the giraffe to the ceiling. And so, oh my gosh, they can take a deep breath because they're focused on not taking a deep breath, but getting the giraffe as high as they can. Yeah. Or just walking in nature. In Asia, there's lots of tropics and fruits. And so having them eat healthy and just, again, focusing on the future and convincing them of this healing power. And I've seen it with the blood of Jesus just instantly. We don't even speak the same language, but they're singing hallelujah. And a little girl just comes up with the glory of God on her face. So with the blood of Jesus, anything is possible because he destroys that word impossible. So in my head, I'm thinking, God, this is going to take forever or maybe never happen. But I remember that little girl at the rooftop in Thailand, and he says, anything is possible with my blood. So we just keep doing the work, and raising awareness is a big thing. So thank you for asking that question here in this platform. I think just knowing that this happens next door, it happens in our Starbucks, these guys will take as long as it takes to groom these people to have them think it's fate. They're always showing up at my job or the mall. So just being, you know, eyes wide open. Thank you.
That's so good. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I appreciate
it. Heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It's soul shattering. I did take a sabbatical And it's soul shattering. Really, it is.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I have to take a deep breath on that one.
I know.
Yeah,
right?
Shake it.
Right.
Shake it. Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay.
Well, my friend.
I've got our last question, Robin. Anything else for you want to ask Michelle before we wrap it up?
No, I'm just so grateful for the conversation today. And I feel like we waited too long and we're going to have to do it again. So.
Oh, well, you know absolutely. How to find me.
Yes.
So our last question, Michelle, is what we ask all of our Well Life guests. What is your one non-negotiable health habit?
Just one, huh? Okay.
Just one. Your top
one. It's a toss-up between getting out in nature and drinking over a gallon of water a day. So... Because we live in the Pacific Northwest, it's not always available to go outside. I'm going to go with the water. So making sure that it's purified, it's filtered, at least a gallon. It's hard to do. You have to, it's a lot of work drinking, but this is the purity of our physical body as the Holy Spirit is for our spiritual body. So it's really simple. I feel like it's something that everybody can do is drink water. And, drinking a gallon is a lot. So just build up to that, but do drink water constantly to purify every single system in the body. It's so important.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Yes.
And get outside.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Well, and there's gallon jugs on that gallon. There's gallon jugs that have like markers on them. So I have a gallon jug. So it's saying, you got this,
Amen.
It's got words of affirmation on it.
Yes. Keep you encouraged.
And for the coffee drinkers, if you drink coffee, you have to drink that much more water. It nullifies it basically.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
Okay, my dear. Wow. Well, this has been exceptional.
It has been.
Thank you guys much. I pray that God blesses the Well Life and he just continues to bless the work of your guys' hands. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we ministered to our souls. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, all of your contact information is going to be in the show notes. So we want to make sure people can reach you and reach an instructor that's local in their area. So we will have all of those in our show notes for our guests that are listening. And just thank you so much for blessing us with your time today, because it's been really special.
Yes. I feel the same way. Thank you guys so much. I love you both.
Thank you. We love you too. And we'll do it again. So,
With that, this is the end of this podcast, folks, the Well Life Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us in our conversation today. And we cannot wait to talk to you again. So this is Robin McCoy.
And this is Dr. Glenda. We want you to be well.
Yes. Live well, everyone. See you next week.
If you're ready to get started on a path to live well, join us every week at the Well Life Podcast. We'd love for you to give us a rating and review, share with your friends, and keep coming back. You can follow Dr. Glenda and Robin on all forms of social media or visit their websites listed in the show notes.